Hey, what is up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you are listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. As usual, I'd like to give a quick shout out before we begin to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to utilize this opportunity to give a huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine. A huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals, and Coach J-Ro for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content and have your name read on this intro, head on over to patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine for more information. And again, you can pick up your very own MTG in Quarantine branded playmat over at Inked Gaming. That's I-N-K-E-D gaming.com. Get two really awesome versions, both the full color as well as the grayscale version. They both look killer. So if you want to pick up one for you and all of your friends, definitely go on over to Inked Gaming. That's again, that is I-N-K-E-D gaming.com. You can find the affiliate link in my link tree, which I will have posted on the description of this video. So definitely go check that out. Help support the channel because everything is greatly appreciated. Well, this is probably going to be the first episode where I actually talk about a set preview while preview season is going on. And again, I'm not usually the kind of person who likes talking about spoilers or, you know, leaks at this point. Well, actually, they're not really leaks, but talking about previews during preview season. But I think that this episode will be interesting to just talk about, you know, for a couple of minutes, just kind of go over my thoughts. So again, if you're not interested in hearing about previews for this upcoming set for Phyrexia All Will Be One, then please stop the episode right now and go listen to one of my other episodes. And hopefully you'll be able to come back to this one in a couple of weeks when the set is released. And this information is then totally public and all the cards are out and all that. So anyway, again, if you don't want to hear about previews, then this is probably a good point to stop the episode. But if you are interested in hearing about the previews, then I'm going to continue here. So today's episode is about the conceptual battle mechanic, or a battle card type, excuse me, that was released on the new Atraxa Grand Unifier card. I think this came out yesterday, I believe, at least the full preview of this card. And I just wanted to spend a couple minutes just talking about what I think a battle card type might actually be, because this is the first time we've seen a new card type, probably since Planeswalkers were implemented in about 2008, 2009 in Lorwyn Block, I believe. And so, yeah, this is definitely part of Wizards of the Coast's promise to, quote-unquote, change Magic forever, would be adding a new card type, right? So even outside of the lore, which has been tough on me, I'm not going to lie, but anyway, I'm not going to get into the whole Vorthos thing right now. But anyway, just talking about battle cards for this episode. So in case you haven't seen, Atraxa Grand Unifier is a 7/7 Phyrexian Angel legendary creature costing 3 generic, green, white, blue, black. So 7 mana for a 7/7 with flying, vigilance, death touch, excuse me, and lifelink. And when Atraxa Grand Unifier enters the battlefield, reveal the top 10 cards of your library. For each card type, you may put a card of that type from among the revealed cards into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. And what's got everyone excited is the reminder text here. The artifact, battle, creature, enchantment, instant, land, planeswalker, and sorcery are card types. So there's been a lot of talk on the Twitter sphere about what exactly a battle card might be. And I really wanted to spend today's episode talking about my thoughts on that. So my initial reaction to a battle card type was kind of like an event type card. I mean, something where you would cast it and it creates some sort of either mini game or just some sort of scenario where you are actively battling with one of your opponents through some sort of in-game mechanic. Obviously, this is a card type, not a mechanic, and I think that's extremely interesting because if we look at something like Clash, which was a set mechanic back in the Lorwyn block, which I think is kind of similar to what I'm assuming battle is going to be. Just the battle card type is going to be a little different than the mechanic, because obviously they work a little different. We have instants and sorceries that could have Clash, which was the mechanic, which allowed, basically, if you're not familiar with the Clash mechanic, it pitted you against target opponent. You would reveal the top card of your library, and whoever had the higher CMC card sitting on top of their library would win the Clash. And then the card that you played with Clash on it would then tell you what would happen if you win the Clash. You get X benefit. And then both players could either leave that revealed card on top of their library or put on the bottom of their library. So effectively scrying one in that case. And I'm, you know, now that I think about Clash, I hope Battle kind of works similarly about that. Is that it feels to me like it's going to be some kind of consumable one-type card, like instances of sorceries, that you play a battle and then you resolve whatever the effect is and then it goes to the graveyard. I just feel like this doesn't feel like a very permanent card type to me, given the fact that battles are not supposed to, you know, in my opinion, be permanent. You know, they have a lifespan. And I just feel like, you know, given how permanence versus non-permanence are treated in Magic the Gathering, I just feel like having a battle doesn't really translate itself to having a permanent card, right? Is that it's, yeah, again, it just feels exactly like the Clash mechanic to me, that it's going to have a very temporary effect. It may be chained out a few times, just like Clash can be if you have certain cards which allow you to continue doing that over and over again. But if you really think about it, I feel like this could be one of those situations where we end up with a brand new consumable card that we really haven't seen for a long time, maybe since Interrupts or Mana Source were back way back in the day, that basically fell in this exact same space before the unification of instances and sorceries basically took those old card types away. And yeah, so again, what I think Battles might be is I hope there's some sort of mini game. I hope that they force two players to battle against each other or the entire table to battle against each other. Obviously, we've seen a lot of cards have been designed for Commander as of late. So maybe there's going to be cards talking about each opponent. Obviously, this set is going to be a standard set. So I'm going to assume, or yeah, actually, now that I think about it, is that we don't even know if battle cards are going to be in Phyrexia All Will Be One, or whether this is going to be something that's going to be in March of the Machines, or potentially going to be in future sets after that. Again, we haven't seen any battle cards revealed yet, but again, it's still fairly early in the preview season. We haven't seen a ton of cards yet, so it's entirely possible that there will be battle cards in this set. But I and a lot of other people online have speculated or are speculating that we may not be seeing these until March in the Machines. And I did want to talk about that for a moment, that I have a feeling that if you're going to be introducing a brand new card type like this, that it may not just be included in just one set. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to have a brand new card type just for one set, just for one, you know, block, if we want to talk about this in such an abstract way. This whole Phyrexian arc from the last year is one quote-unquote block. I feel like if we were going to just have one card type in one specific set, that makes things a bit more challenging for the balancing of the card game. Because let's just think about Delirium, which is a mechanic that came back, I think it was in, yeah, Shadows block, Shadows over Innistrad and Eldritch Moon. And Delirium, for again, if you're unfamiliar with it, with that particular mechanic, means that a card, whether that's a creature or another just card type, will get some additional benefit if you as the player have four or more different card types in your graveyard. Well, if this battle card is only included in March of the Machines, it still has, I mean, it may have a small impact on the draft environment, on the limited environment, maybe on some on standard, because again, it's going to be a standard legal set, right? But it's going to have a bigger impact on more the eternal formats, or even just on modern too, and especially in Commander, because again, adding a new card type only powers up Delirium. Because previously we had artifacts, creatures, enchantments, instants, lands, planeswalkers, and sorceries. We only had seven card types. So again, you have to dump more than half of those in your graveyard to be able to get Delirium. But all of a sudden, now that you have battle cards, now that's eight different card types you can dump in your graveyard. All of a sudden, it's that much easier to be able to reach Delirium, to be able to get X benefit. So all of a sudden, you're powering up things that worry about the card types in your graveyard. You're powering up Delirium. You're powering up what other people have mentioned in Tarmogoyf, who again gets more powerful with the more card types are in graveyards. And again, this is a seismic change in how those decks might be constructed. Again, we don't know exactly what the battles may be exactly what they're portraying or exactly how they work lore-wise or mechanics-wise, but the fact that they power up strong existing strategies could have some major consequences, especially for graveyard decks going forward in multiple formats. So, I mean, just the new card type by itself, I guess Tribal technically counts back from Lore on Block 2, but that's not included here on the new Atraxa card, so I'm not including it for that reason. Otherwise, if it had been in, I mean, yeah, it's a super type, I think, just like Legendary, but as far as Atraxa is concerned, it's not a card type, so I'm not that, and that's why I'm really not discussing this. Anyway, again, I digress. Back to the point of what a battle card is. I hope it's some sort of mini game, where you're fighting against either a target opponent or every opponent, and there's some kind of weird sub game. Again, I've seen mentions to Shahrazad, on Twitter lately, and obviously that card is banned for good reason in every format because it creates a very crazy game state where you basically play a Magic sub game, and then the winner of that game gets some sort of advantage, or the loser, gets some sort of disadvantage when you return to the regular game. And again, that card is really difficult to resolve. It basically goes outside the bounds of a regular Magic game, et cetera, et cetera. So hopefully Wizards has found a way to be able to take that silliness of that sub game that Shahrazad offers and can turn it into some sort of more game acceptable card, I suppose, something that you can play in a limited environment. Obviously, if you're playing at a draft, you're not going to want to all of a sudden put all your cards aside and play a Shahrazad sub game. Hopefully a battle will be something, like I said, a consumable card, a one-time use consumable card like an instant or sorcery that is used and then discarded, put into the graveyard, exiled, whatever, because it's over. And after you've resolved it or it's been countered or whatever, and hopefully that, they'll have some sort of impact on the game, whether you put counters on creatures, whether you win or, you draw cards or you lose life if you lose, something like that, something tangible with not huge stakes, hopefully. Something like if you lose 5 life, if you lose, or you draw 2 cards, if you win, something that you can do fairly easily in a standard limited environment or in standard. Even I'm just hoping that it's nothing overly broken, something else Battle does remind me of are Plane Chase cards as well. Obviously, Plane Chase involves planes that are technically in their own zone that affect the game in various ways, and you can roll the planar die, et cetera, to move cards around and get different effects, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, these battles are not going to be exactly the same because they are going to be game pieces. They're probably not going to exist in their own zone, though. We've received a lot of cards in the last couple of years that have been worrying about various exile zones specifically. So things like Dothi Voidwalker or Ruth Tormented Prophet have kind of blurred the lines of what exactly is the public exile zone and then a specific exile zone underneath themselves. And so it makes me wonder if these battle cards are potentially going to exist in their own zone. If that's the case, could they be countered as a regular spell if they're an instant or sorcery, or do they just kind of exist in their own sphere and place, just like the command zone for Commander? Just weird little things to think about, but I feel like since this is going to be in a standard legal set, which again, I believe March of the Machines is a standard legal set, and obviously Phyrexial will be one, will be a standard legal set, it just makes me wonder if, exactly where Wizards of the Coast is going with this. But, it is also exciting. They're adding a new card type for the first time in 15 years, something like that. And this is going to be an absolutely huge, huge shift. And it does make me wonder, is this the kind of card type which we're only going to see once for a specific set or two? Or does this have more far-reaching implications for Magic going forward? Obviously, we haven't seen a lot of tribal cards since those cards came out in Lorwyn Block. But it just makes me wonder. And the Vorthos in me, it gets kind of nervous when I see this because it feels like the kind of set or a set mechanic that's not going to just go away in one set or two. And it does make me nervous for the Vorthoses like myself out there that is this going to be something we're going to be seeing for a long time to come? In which case, that really tugs on the heartstrings in a bad way for some of us. So, yeah, but again, I'm not really going to go into that. And again, the new Atraxa card is pretty cool. 7/7 Angel for 7 with a bunch of relevant keyword abilities, and the kind of the Niv-Mizzet Reborn way to rip cards off the top of your library, put them into your hand. Obviously, you're going to want to run as many different card types in this deck as possible to try to be able to basically draw cards, maybe be able to flicker Atraxa, be able to just draw a whole boat ton of cards. It can go in so many different ways. I mean, honestly, you could just build around like creatures and instants too, and just be able to filter through this. You use this kind of as a dig through time in a way with some flicker abilities. Obviously, you're playing in blue and white, so you probably have a bunch of ways you can flicker this card, whether that's things like Thassa Deep Dwelling or just the millions of flicker cards that exist in these colors. You could easily flip Atraxa, just bring her in, out, phase her out, or actually not phase, but just blink, flicker, et cetera, just get that sweet, sweet card selection. Again, I know this episode isn't about Atraxa, but just fun little thoughts, food for thought there. And it also did get me wondering if this is a new card type. It also got me thinking, what exactly would be another new permanent card type? I've mentioned several times, I feel like battles are going to be fairly temporary cards that are going to resolve and then go to the graveyard versus being a permanent-based card. And it did get me wondering what exactly another new card, if Wizards of the Coast ever decide to add a new card, a new permanent especially, what exactly would that entail? And again, I don't really have anything on mind at the moment, but again, this whole thing right here opens up a whole world of possibilities. But it also demonstrates that, given what we're seeing in the Vorthos story right here, there's a slight possibility maybe the Planeswalkers are going to start getting phased out. I mean, I hope not, because I feel like that's one of the main selling points of this game. I feel like Wizards would be really hurting themselves if they remove Planeswalkers entirely from the Magic story. But again, if they're adding a new card type in here, that's clearly going to shift what exactly Magic looks like going forward, and it's going to have a lot more far-reaching consequences than just one standard set. So yeah, I don't know exactly what I'd do if I was Wizards and I was trying to design a new card type, but I feel like they're really reaching into that design space that they've been kind of hinting at but not quite getting to recently, and then this card could potentially blow the doors off that entire conversation that we haven't had for the last 12 to 15 years of exactly how do you try to update Magic just by using all these rules. We've been seeing so many more things that go into exile, like I said, and maybe battles will play around with more zones. I mean, we already have a very complicated game as it is, and if battles make that more complicated, just look out. That rule book is going to keep growing, right? So, yeah, we'll just have to see what else is released in the rest of the set or March of the Machines. Hopefully, these are cards that people are going to want to play. Hopefully, they're not going to be confusing. And hopefully, they bring us some interesting gameplay in a variety of formats. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with that. I just look at Atraxa here. I could build this in like 5 different ways. And again, not all any of them would really be any good, but again, who cares? This is just a speculation post. I'm looking forward to seeing where things go. Obviously, the story hasn't exactly been my cup of tea, but you know, it is what it is. So we'll see where things go. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. If you're interested in checking out the MTG and Quarantine podcast, you can find those on the usual podcast outlets. That's your Googles, Apple, Spotify, Player FM, Rocketcast, Pocketcast, Overcast, Breaker, and a million others. I never remember all of them, but if it's a major podcast outlet, you can probably find my content on there. Also, you can find me over on Twitter at MTG and Quarantine. If you find the very happy-looking Ulamog wearing a pair of headphones, you found the right place. I'd like to utilize this opportunity again to give another huge shout-out and thank you to all of the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/mtchainquarantine. It's a huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, Jenna the Filthy MTG Casuals, and Coach J-Row for supporting the show. you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this introspective and perspective episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name is MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.